2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you that it is so precious. And Father, that you speak by your Holy Spirit through your word. And I pray, Lord, now that you would speak to each one of us, Lord. Lord, that you would open up this word to our hearts. Lord, that we would sense your spirit speaking to us. That we would know the Spirit of God touching our hearts. Even now, we pray, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would glorify your name in the midst of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Really want to focus on these words. What in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And we know that the unbeliever will constantly talk about those things which are seen. If you start to share the gospel with many unbelievers nowadays, they will immediately respond and say, well, I only believe what I can see with my eyes. And if I'm to believe it, I need to see with my eyes. I need to see the evidence with my eyes of the existence of God, of what God has done for me and for other people. I need to see it with my eyes. But what we see in this passage is the glorious things that God has done, the things of eternal, the eternal things, the things that are not seen. And the reality is that the Christian life becomes, as it were, problematic. And the reason why we so often find ourselves in defeat, and the reason why we become overwhelmed by the problems of this life, is because we've taken our, as it were, we've taken our spiritual eyes off the unseen and fixed our physical eyes on the seen. And that's really at the heart of where the problem comes into the Christian life. So the problems come, the situations come, just the day-to-day issues of life come and as it were, are heaped upon us. And we start to just gaze upon those things, and our eyes are fixed upon those things, the things that are just, some of the things that just are just daily things. Sometimes it will just be suddenly a big problem that just comes into our lives. And we've got our eyes so fixed upon these. And what we have to do is we have to learn to get our eyes on the things that are unseen. We need to get our spiritual eyes on those unseen things. Because at the heart of what Paul is saying is this. He says in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not," and he's just talked about the persecutions and the troubles and the difficulties and the things that would naturally make us despair. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And the reason why he could say that his affliction was light was because his eyes were not on the things of this world. Now, when you think about it, this is the Apostle Paul, who was whipped a multitude of times. Here was the Apostle Paul who was shipwrecked. Here was the Apostle Paul who knew affliction, he knew opposition, he knew attacks. He knew far more than any of us have ever gone through. And yet he described this as a light affliction. He could say of the troubles that he endured and he experienced, he said, "These things are light to me." And these things are... And he said, not only that it was a light, something that was light, he said that this was only for a moment. Now, when we're going through the difficulties, when suddenly the problem comes and it hits our lives, so often we don't see it as something that is light, and so often we don't see it as just for a moment. We're just thinking that the enormity of this problem that has suddenly come into our lives, we don't see it as something that is light, and we don't see it as for a moment. But yet Paul, who was undergoing incredible persecution and incredible suffering and incredible difficulties and just the incredible storms of life, he was going through all of this, and yet he could say, "This is just a light affliction, and it's just for a moment." And the reason is because he says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And we have to look, we have to see the things around us in their perspective. We have to see that we're on this earth for such a short time. We're going to be we're going to be in glory for eternity. So whatever affliction you might be facing, whatever difficulty you might be facing, whatever trouble you might be facing, whatever you might be going through right now, whatever God has allowed to happen in your life, whatever it might be, it's only for a short time. This is a short time in comparison with eternity. Even a person who lives for many years, who has a long life, their life is short in comparison to spending eternity with the Lord. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. And he says, "I look and I see that this is something small in comparison, because my spiritual eyes have beheld the glory of God. My spiritual eyes have beheld the glory of spending eternity with God." And we need to have that fresh revelation. Each one of us needs a fresh revelation of just the glory of being with the Lord Jesus for eternity. We need to grasp this, because we know it, as it were, by faith. We say, "I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord."
But this has to get right into our hearts. It has to get right into our beings. It has to get right into our minds. It has to consume us that we're going to be spending eternity with the Lord. And when we really get hold of this, the glory of it, the enormity of it, the wonder of it, just the awesomeness of spending eternity with the Lord, it's then that we will see that this world is but a shadow in comparison to the reality of being with the Lord. It will become a shadow because suddenly our eyes will see what is real, what is of weight, what is of glory, and that is that spending eternity with the Lord. And that is what will enable you to see afresh everything. Because suddenly Paul says, well, this is for a moment. Because he'd got an understanding, he'd seen, this is for eternity. Spending time with the Lord is for eternity. And he said, well, yes, I'm going through all these things. And he acknowledged them and he describes them. He says we're troubled on every side. He says we're perplexed. He says we're persecuted. He says all these things. But the reality was that he could say these are light things because his spiritual eyes had been, as it were, enlightened. They'd been opened to see just the glory of being with the Lord forever. And so often we think of this in such a light way. We think, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. And then as soon as we this thought, as it were, comes to our minds, and this thought might come to your mind, just suddenly it comes to your mind, I'm going to be with the Lord forever. And then the next moment, your mind is on the things of this life. Your mind is on, and we know that we've got to do the things that are just part of this life. We know that. But it is only when we allow that the reality of what Jesus has done for us and what we've entered into and what is awaiting us, it's only when we really let that sink into our hearts that we are able to understand and put into perspective the whole of our lives. And I wonder this morning, are the things of this world more real? And as it were, more important and of greater weight than the eternal things of God? Because what we need then, if that is the case, if that is what is true, we need to get something of the eternal glory of God into our hearts so that we then have a change of perspective about everything. That's what will bring you through. That's what will bring you victory. And that's why Paul could walk in victory in every situation. He could walk in victory because he saw in a different way. He saw the things of eternity. And it's only as we begin to meditate on the things of God, we need to, as it were, just spend time just thinking about what the Lord has done. We need to just spend time just dwelling on just who the Lord is, of just the glory of just spending eternity with him. We need to just spend time just thinking of that, just waiting upon the Lord and just thinking, I'm going to be with him forevermore, and allow that just to sink into our hearts. And in throughout this passage, the amazing thing is, through it all, the whole emphasis is on, as it were, the unseen rather than the seen. He says in verse 5, he says, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our lives, in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here we see God shining the light into our hearts. It's the light of Christ. It's been shone in our hearts. It's just the knowledge of the glory of God. This is being shown in our hearts. This is the great this is the great thing that is precious. This is the great thing that's the most precious thing you have, is Jesus dwelling in your heart. That's the most precious thing. And you carry Christ everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, we can put it like this: you're a carrier of Christ. You're a carrier of Christ. And that's, you may feel weak, you may feel overwhelmed by this life, you may feel all sorts of things. But God has made you, as it were, if I can put it like this, as a carrier of Christ, so that everywhere you go, you're carrying Christ within you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. And you go and you reach out to the unbeliever, and it's Christ in you. You're a carrier of Christ. And you say, oh, you know, and we can say, I'm weak and I'm able, and we can feel hopeless, and we can say, what's the point of this life? And we can say all sorts of things that come to our mind, and we can say, oh, life has become too much for me. But God says, I've put Christ in you for you to be a carrier of Christ. That's a glorious thing. That's a glorious thing. You are the richest, you know, we are the richest people in all this earth. We have the greatest purpose in all this earth. We have the most precious ministry in all this earth. And that is as people who carry Christ to a needy world. We are carriers of Christ to the people who are in sorrow, who need the comfort. We are carriers of Christ. And while we as believers are on this earth, we are carriers of Christ. You see, this is the great ministry that God's given each one of us. And then he says this: we have this treasure, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And you think, the world is looking just to build up treasuries, looking to build up wealth. So many people in this world just looking to build up treasure, looking up to build up wealth. And he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just made of clay. We're made of the dust of the earth. And he's put this treasure in our hearts. Everywhere you go, you are going with the greatest treasure the world can know. And it's Christ in you. Everywhere you go, you have, you know, if someone comes along and they're in great need and in poverty. Now, the only way you can help them, according to them, is if you've got some money. If you've got the treasure, the greatest treasure in your heart, you can reach out and you can reach and help a person in need, because you've got the greatest treasure. You've got Christ in you. You're able to go and meet the needs of the people. And it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. God says, I've put this treasure in you, and it's Christ in you. So someone comes in need, you have the answer, because you have treasure in your heart, and that treasure is Christ. It is Christ. And he says, I want you to take this treasure and to take it to the people. And you say, why am I on this earth? Why am I still on this earth? What's the very reason why I'm on this earth? The reason you're on this earth is because God has put in you his treasure. He has put in you that which is the most valuable thing. It's Christ himself. He's put that in you so that you can go and reach people with this treasure and with this, the very thing that is most precious. And that's why, and it's the things unseen. You may, you know, someone asks you, are you rich? And you say, no, I'm poor. I've hardly got anything. But you see, when you look at the unseen, when you look with the spiritual eyes, You suddenly realize that you're rich, that you have all this treasure in an earthen vessel, that you have the thing that is most precious. It is Christ, that he's poured this into you, that you have this assurance of something that is glorious to come, an eternal weight of glory. Someone looks on you and says, oh, you know, how do you believe in God when you're going through these afflictions and when you're going through these difficulties and when you're going through these trials? How can you say that you're, how can you believe in the living God? How can you believe it? And you say, well, these to me are light afflictions. These are light afflictions because I'm looking at the weight of glory. I see what is to come. And then he also says this. He says in verse 10, he says that we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. You see, the life that we have is real life. The life that we have is the very life of Christ. And the only, and if we're going to reach out to people with something that is living, then it's got to be Christ. And he says, and you say, well, why do I have to suffer in the way that I'm suffering? Why am I having to go through this? Why has this happened to me? Why am I going through this? The very reason why you're going through whatever difficulty and struggle and whatever it might be right now is so that the life of Christ might be manifest. Because that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to manifest the very life of Christ. You have the most precious thing in you. You have the greatest treasure in you. Now he wants it to be revealed to the world. And he says, but first of all, I've got to bring you to a place where you are dead, so it's just the life of Christ. You say, why? Why do I have to go through this? Surely there's another way. Surely I don't have to go through this. Why couldn't circumstances be different? Why couldn't everything be different? He says, I had to take you through this so that the life of Christ could be manifest, so the glory of Christ could be revealed, so it be so as it says, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Because God wants people to see the excellency of the power of God. And we're on this earth to reveal the excellency of the power of God. And that's each one of us individually. And it's not, this isn't a ministry for some people. It's a ministry for every believer, that we might be revealing the excellency of the power of God. And the great need of our day, more than it feels sometimes more than ever before, we need to for the power of God to be revealed. We need to see the glory of God. We need to see just the greatness of God. And the way that God has declared that this is going to be, it's going to be through people. It's going to be through earthen vessels. It's going to be through vessels that are made of dust. That's how God has said he is going to reveal his power and his glory. And when we look out, and the moment we go out outside the doors of this building, we are brought face to face with a world that needs to see the power of God. You see, we can go into in and spend time alone with God and experience something of the greatness of God and the power of God and hear him speaking. But the people out there need to experience the excellency of the power of God. They need to see it. They need to experience it. And God has said that it's going to be through people just like us, where they're going to see the power of God. And the power of God is going to be displayed through you. It's going to be you. And if you want to kind of, as it were, get a glimpse of this, you think about Christ in his earthly ministry. And you see how he went about doing, it talks about how he went about doing good. how he showed mercy and grace, how he came and spoke just the right word at the right time to someone, how he came and brought healing to people, how he ministered to people time and time again, how he brought comfort and at times challenge to people. And all the time he said, I only do what I see my Father do. That's the only thing he did. He said, I see what my Father does and I do it. And now he says to us, the power of God needs to be revealed. And the power of God can only be revealed as we are brought into this place of death, that the power of Christ be revealed. And so the reason why you can give thanks to the Lord when the trouble comes, and when things seem to go wrong, everything seems to be going wrong, in the midst of that you can say, well, if God has to do this so that I'm made, as it were, I'm dead and I'm taken out of the way so the power of God might be revealed to a people who have no concept of God, let alone the power of God. And he says, that's how they're going to see the power of God. It's going to be through people. They're going to see the power of God when they see you. They're going to see Jesus when they see you. They're going to see the presence of Jesus. And it says this, it says, it says in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. He has given us the spirit of faith, that we might believe that those things that are not seen. He's given us that spirit of faith, that we might believe all the promises of God, all the things that God has declared true in his word, and we've been given that spirit of faith. But that spirit of faith, when it fills our hearts, and the spirit comes and fills our hearts, that enables us to speak. Enables us to minister. It says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. How is it that you can speak? How is it that you can speak the right word at the right time? How is it you can come with a word that really just speaks into a person's situation and brings life where there was death? It's because you've got the spirit of faith. Because God wants to fill each one of us with the spirit. With the spirit of faith. And that we go and it says, because I have believed, I have spoken. Because I have believed, I have declared the glory of the gospel. And that's how people are going to see. They're going to see the power of the spirit. When we're full of the spirit and we proclaim the gospel, and they hear it and they see the reality of it because their spiritual eyes have been opened. Everything is about the unseen. It's the unseen, it's the light of Christ being filling our hearts. It's the treasure that is in this earthen vessel. It's the life of Christ being poured into us. It's the weight of glory of what is before us and what is in front of us. That's what it's all about. And it's as we have that revelation, and as we are removed from the sea, and then it's just Christ. It's that which people will see. And the Lord just says, as it were, it's almost as if we've got to close our physical eyes and open our spiritual eyes to see the glory of God, to see the greatness of who he is, to see what is before us, to see that reality is what the world would say is unseen. And we say the things that are really real are the things that are unseen. And what we see around us is just a shadow. It's just a shadow in comparison to the weight of glory of what is before us. The things that are seen with our physical eyes are just a shadow in comparison to the unseen things that have been placed in our hearts. The treasure of this earth is nothing in comparison to the treasure that is in your heart. The light that even comes from the sun itself is nothing. It's just a shadow in comparison to the light that God has put in you. The life that you have in your physical body is as nothing compared with the life of Christ that he's put in you. It is as nothing, and it's just a shadow in comparison to what God has done in your heart. And if we can get just something of a glimpse of what God has done already in us and what is waiting for us, then the things of this world we will see them truly as a shadow, and we will find ourselves as truly those earthen vessels who are just ready to just reveal Jesus. And that our lives, the physical life, will be poured out, so that instead will be filled with the very life of Christ, the light of Christ, the glory of Christ. That's what he wants to flood our hearts with. And when we really get a fresh revelation of this, oh, we'll be walking in victory. The victorious Christian is one who who sees the unseen, who walks by faith, who has that revelation and is living in the reality of those glorious unseens. That's where victory is found, and that's where the power is. That's where the power is in the Christian life. It's in the unseen and not in the seen.